Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
And welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, how's it hanging?
I'm really wishing I had some YouTube jewels right now.
Yes, Kelly and I, right prior to recording, discovered the concept of YouTube jewels. I don't think there's any way for us to get jewels unless we live stream, is the problem.
Oh, damn.
Well, I think they're a live stream only currency.
Ah, shit. Okay.
However, if anyone listening knows how to get us some YouTube jewels.
Yeah, if you want to give us your jewels, we'll take them.
Please send them our way. Maybe one episode we'll have to do live stream in order to get jewels.
Is this like the podcaster equivalent of the fucking Danhausen requesting human monies?
I don't know, because I don't know anything about Danhausen by choice.
Damn, I'm going to have to learn about Danhausen to drop some Danhausen facts on you to force you to learn about him.
Oh, God.
Yep.
No, thanks. I'd rather have YouTube jewels. Anyway, we have a lot of wrestling to talk about, so we got to get to it. We've got tournaments galore, we got big matches, we got small matches. But first, we got plugs. That's right. Follow us on Blue Sky, at J-Bomb Audio. Follow Kelly, at Comic Geek Kelly. Follow me, at Tay Mainbow. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice, and if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So let's get right into it. We are going to start talking Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling's Summer Sun Princess from Korakuen Hall on July 18th in front of 1,204 fans. Kelly, what did you think of this show?
This was a really good show. I very much enjoyed my time watching this. Really good crowd. Just all around, good time. Summer Sun Princess, it's the song of the summer.
I have to say, for a show that involved both people sticking boogers in each other's mouths and people throwing farts at each other, I believe, was the thing. It was quite an enjoyable show.
Yeah. Taylor, I don't know if you know this, but boogers? Hilarious.
It was like the most infantile Tokyo
Joshi
show.
Hilarious.
which is saying something considering Pom's gimmick is being three.
Yeah.
And she is on every show. But I also very much enjoyed the show. I thought it was very good. It was good to see a good crowd, especially going up against the first day of the five-star Grand Prix, 1,200, which is, I believe, about 200 over what they did at the last Corican Hall show. So,
yeah, that's a really good number.
A nice number. So let's dive right into it. The opener, which was the official debut. Of course, we've seen her before, but the official debut of Momo Sato in a tag team match on the losing end, being defeated by Ren Kanatsu and Uta Takami, Momo Sato teaming with Shion Kanzaki. So you could say this was, in some degree, the rookie match. And I think the one note I had about this match was they've got a good crop of rookies.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing crazy, you know, blow away about this match, but I think of where they used to be when these rookies debuted, and the rookies were much needed much more development time, I'll say, than the current rookies. I mean, it is the veteran in this match is Uta.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was no really like, oh, they messed something up, or, oh, this went horribly wrong, which you would expect from younger wrestlers. It went very well. It was a solid match, good opener. So I've got no complaints.
I thought it was a relatively unremarkable debut for Momo Sato. And I will say I am not buying any early stock in her at this moment. And the one thing that really bothered me about her gear is anime cosplay gear. It is based on a costume an anime character in the show Oshinoko wears. I don't like that. I don't want you, and I talk about this, if you're in the Voices of Wrestling Slack, which I guess not most of you are not, whenever in AEW fucking Swerve Strickland comes out in his cosplay gear, I go off about it. I hate it. You're supposed to be the cool one. Don't dress up like someone that you think is cool. And I think that for Momo, show me what your personality is rather than the personality of a thing you like, you know? So that was a bad sign for me. It tells me that she doesn't have much going on in the creativity department. So I'm very much, she is a wait and see. I don't have much hope for her at the moment.
Wow. Okay. I guess I didn't know all that information. So to me, she was just wearing an outfit.
I hate it when wrestlers do the cosplay gear. I fucking hate it.
Wow. We found another of Kelly's nerve points, touch points.
Well, it's just like, you're supposed to be cool. You know?
Yeah, I totally understand. Yes, very understandable. I didn't know you felt so strongly about it.
It's like, I want to see people dressed up like cosplay. I'll go to a Comic-Con or scroll Instagram and someone with huge cans will be there. I don't want to see a wrestler dressed up like that. I don't want to see fucking Will Ospreay dressed like Bane. No, you're supposed to be the cool one. So Momo, get your own identity. Come back and be yourself.
Well, speaking of things Kelly really loves, Boogers. The next match was a six-person tag team match where Himawari, Mifu Ishida, and the debuting Shin Sakura Hirota defeated Chika Nanase, Palm Harajuku, and Raku in 11 minutes and 53 seconds. I mean, look, to me, I mean, the Booger stuff was stupid. It was not as bad as I thought it would be.
Yeah, I mean, it very much feels like this was a walled garden of a match where we just took all of the goofballs and shoved them into one thing.
It was enough of a novelty to be like, Hirota is interacting with like Palm Harajuku.
Yeah.
Or like doing the sleeping thing with Raku that I was like, okay, this is interesting. I've never seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having Pom what do the rope walk thing. I was like, okay, this is like, I'm not upset by this match. I wasn't loving it, but you know, and the Booger stuff at the moment, I was sort of like, okay, but it sort of ended and I was like, okay, that was fine. We got through it. It was all good. I mean, not good, but like everyone's
it was great.
Fine.
We Four survived. And a half stars.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. I mean, the weird thing is that really the only comedy, I mean, Hyper Masao is comedy, but it's like other than Pom and Raku, there are really no more comedy characters in this promotion.
Yeah. So a lot of them can do comedy.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
But it's not like this is what I go out and do every time.
But it's like, unfortunately, Himawari and Mifu, it's been decided that you are in this area, even though they're not comedy wrestlers.
No. They're
like,
just,
it feels like the promotion doesn't have enough comedy wrestlers now at this point,
mm-hmm.
where it just ends up that people I want to see like actually wrestle end up being like, well, you're in the comedy match. And I'm like, ah, they could be used better elsewhere.
It's very much like the WWE problem for years, where it was like, if you showed any hint of comedic timing, that's what you are forever. You were not going to be pushed as a serious person because you made Vince McMahon laugh once. And it kind of feels like that's what's happening to Himawari and Mifu Ishida. And it's like, please get them out of there.
The next match was a tag team match. Haru Kazushiro and Yuki Aino defeating Mirai and Toga in 12 minutes and 17 seconds. Haru pinning Toga. So that was an interesting result. Felt like the classic, and I feel like we haven't had one of these in a bit, but the tag team match that you read about on a Tokyo Joshi card and you go, ah, that could be really, really good. And then it's like the third match on the card and it's fine, but it's not as good as you want it to be.
Yeah, it was good, but like this had a pretty high ceiling.
I'm like, oh, this could have been like awesome.
Yeah.
But they used to do this all the time. Like it would be like Mizuki and Miyamashita against, you know, two other people. And you'd be like, oh, this is really good. And then you realize it's third from the top and they get like 8 minutes and you're like, oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't great, but it was good because obviously they're not in the spot to be like, time to go out and steal the show.
Yeah.
You know, in the third match. Like Haru, still really good. She put on that figure four armbar that looked like Toga's arm was going the other way. And I was like, that actually looks really good.
That move is so good. I absolutely love that armbar.
My big takeaway was it feels to me a bit like I like Toga. She has some skills. It feels like, in a way, it has been exposed that there are big gaps in her overall.
I worry that Toga is one of those young wrestlers that got praised too much too early and then kind of just stopped improving because of it.
Like, it feels like my thought is Haru has passed her.
Oh, absolutely.
And it showed here, she pinned her. But it's like, okay, great. She has the, you know, the forearms. Those are great. But it's still, it's starting to feel like, oh, but what is the there's no character really, except for I'm Toga.
I'm Toga and I'm handsome.
Yeah, it's sort of like, here I am. And it's like, okay, you have those strikes, but other than that.
Whoa. She does the Rolling Thunder.
That's true. She does do the Rolling Thunder.
Which makes me laugh every time because it's feels absurd to see someone that isn't Rob Van Dam doing that move.
I liked her rock bottom off of the ropes. That was good. But this really sunk in that I was like, okay. And it feels a bit like the promotion doesn't quite know what to do with her, where it's like, okay, she can team with Mirai.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that might be interesting. And it sort of is interesting, but not that interesting.
You know, Togo, I think it's definitely not the focus of this match. I think the focus is they're building a larger story with Haru and Mirai here.
Yeah, and I think one big issue is it seems to me, or reads to me, that Haru, like, gets it.
Yes.
Like, is someone who immediately is like, I understand how to do this. I'm very good at it. Here we go. That, as I've said, that is not every person. And Toga is in that category of, like, you've got to do some figuring out of, like, what this whole thing is, which hasn't happened yet. It could happen. You know, she had the initial skill. People got very excited about her early, as you said. But it may be the case that it was like, oh my God, they got really excited and then realized. Like with Haru, you get excited and every time she comes out, you're like, whoa, she's doing this now. She's improving. She's improving.
Yeah, she's and like Toga a full-on prodigy.
Yeah. So, again, a match I liked, but I could sort of see the better version of the match in my mind's eye. Mm-hmm. So I liked, you know, I probably would have gone like 3.25.
Like I was at 3.5.
Solid match. So, yeah. Next up, it was the big Aja Kong match. Aja Kong defeating Ariso Endo in 9 minutes and 25 seconds. Kelly, interested to hear your thoughts.
I loved this match. I thought it was awesome. To me, the only thing that could have improved it is if there was blood. Endo was so good here. Her hitting the water wheel suplex on Kong got an actual audible reaction out of me. Just Endo took such crazy ragdoll bumps on the backdrop drivers. Like, it was so good. I went 4.25 on this. I absolutely loved it.
I liked it. It didn't super connect with me.
Why'd you hate the match, Taylor? Why'd you hate it?
I could sort of see why people liked it, but I feel like I see this match so... Like, last episode, we were just sort of talking about one of these matches. Like, Aja Kong, she comes in. I'm like, I understand the format. Endo's going to lose. You know, I liked it, but... And I thought Endo did well. I thought she came across very likable. But in the end of the day, I'm sort of like, yes, I have seen this. So I wasn't crazy about it.
These matches now, you're kind of more looking for how the young wrestler deals with it, you know?
But it's not even for me like, oh, is Endo going to step up? I'm like, of course she is. She's like one of the best wrestlers in the whole company.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't surprised that I'm like, oh, she's doing really well. I'm like, of course she is. She's very talented. Like, it isn't like a rookie where you're like, oh, finally, they're showing the great spirit that they need to show. It's like, yes, this is a good wrestler going against a better wrestler and losing. So to me, I didn't even have that connection. The one thing that did make me laugh was I don't think I've ever seen. So she hits the water wheel and I think Aja was up standing and, you know, at her before she even like started moving to stand up from hitting the move. Like, I've never seen. Obviously, there's fighting spirit where you get hit by a move and you're sort of like, ah, and then you power up. I mean, she got hit by the move and immediately stood up and was like, what about it? And I was like, oh, wow. I've never seen someone get hit with a big match or get hit with a big move in, you know, near the end of a match and just be like, oop, stand up. Here I am. And you're like, oh, okay. So I liked it. I saw that people had liked it, so maybe my expectations also were a little bit higher. But I thought it was fine, you know. Enjoyed it.
I was surprised that Aja Kong didn't, like, bust her mouth open when she just ate the bin to the face when Endo super kicked it into her.
The next match was another 6-person tag team match. Kumadori, Sakura Hirota, and Yuki Kamifuku defeating Mihiro Kiryu, Senshiro Takagi, and Yumehita Imanari in 12 minutes and 6 seconds. Was very funny to have. It was like Kumadori and Imanari or something like that. And they're like running around the ring and Kumadori's doing all this stuff. And then it was like, okay, tag in. It's Hattori and Kiryu. Kiryu looked like she was moving through mud.
Yeah.
After watching them. you know, and Hattori's like running around the ring trying to give some energy. She's like, I'm going to hit the ropes. I'm going to do this. And Mihiro's like just standing in the middle of the ring doing nothing. Look, they'll never tag again, but I did sort of like the energy of Sakura and Kumadori.
Kumadori is awesome, actually. I think this is my first time seeing him, and he rules.
He was great, but I thought they had great energy together. They have sort of similar ninja things, and I was like, oh, this is a great team. They'll never tag again.
No.
But, you know, I enjoyed that. Look, did I like taking farts and throwing them in people's face? No, I didn't like that. But that was at the beginning. They then got away from it. There was nothing major, but it was enjoyable enough, mostly because they kept Mihiro out of the match. You know, she sort of like did the apology thing, and then everyone moved on. And it was like, okay, we don't need to see her anymore.
Look, I'm just waiting for the day that Mihiro takes like an office position in the company and stops wrestling and only appears to be hit by a bike once every couple of months.
Which, that was good this time. I was like, oh, if she were only this part of the show, she'd be
great.
I should say they also announced that Hiroyo Matsumoto will be coming back to Tokyo Joshi.
That's right, yes.
After she had two matches last year. And that Natsu Samire will be appearing at Korakuen Hall for Kamiyu's show. Is it her retirement show? I don't remember.
I don't remember if that's her retirement show or a lead up. But all I know is we definitely need Aki on commentary for that show. I desperately need to hear him react to Sumire's spots.
If it's cute, it's legal, he would say.
Yeah.
The next match was a special singles match originally meant to be Willow Nightingale and Mizuki. Willow Nightingale not having visa issues of some type. So instead it was Chris Brooks defeating Mizuki in 10 minutes and 47 seconds. Kelly, what were your thoughts on this?
This is awesome. Brooks is so good at playing the giant bully. Like, this made me feel like I was back in the golden age of Choco Pro during the pandemic days when he was just beating the shit out of fucking Lulu Pencil and stuff. He's just, like, the perfect base for Mizuki, too, to fly around and crash into over and over and over. The visual of him picking Mizuki up by her leg and pulling her into the ring was so wild. I don't think I've ever seen that before. It's a bummer we didn't get the Willow match, but I was okay with it because this match was awesome. This was another 4.25 for me.
I also went 4.25. I also wrote the note that I have never seen someone pick someone up from the apron over and into the ring.
Yeah.
Like, not even, okay, I'm picking them up and then I'm doing something on the apron, but to do like, oh, I'm picking you up and high enough that I can then just place you into the ring. I was like, oh, that's unique. The highlight for me was the Mizuki went for the foot stomp and Brooks caught her and then turned it into a tombstone. I was like, that was great. The one thing actually that didn't work was the thing I was most excited for, which was the whirling candy didn't look great.
And which is weird because they've done it so good in the past. I think this may have just been caught her at a weird angle or something.
Yeah, it was just a thing where I was waiting. I was like, oh, she's going to hit the whirling candy. It's going to look great. It didn't look bad, but I was sort of like, oh, they've done better in the past, which was a bit of a bummer. But I thought it was great. I mean, just Brooks trying to demolish Mizuki. And it's also always interesting, you know, seeing like, oh, people thrown into chairs.
Yeah.
And you're seeing a huge guy do it. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, like five rows of chairs is scattering instead of like one row slightly moving. So great. I also went 4.25. So really good match.
Chris Brooks is at his best when he's being a Joshi.
Then we got into the title matches. The first title match, the International Princess title, Suzume, the champion, successfully defending against Wakana Uehara in 12 minutes and 47 seconds. This match was okay.
This was a weird match.
It felt like nothing to me, really.
Well, and the crowd was absolutely dead at the
beginning. Well, yeah, it felt like the crowd was not into it. It felt like they didn't really have good chemistry. So it felt like just, it was like, oh, two people just having a match. You know, it was a title match, but I'm like, it didn't really have the energy of one.
Yeah.
You know, I
like,
think
the crowd really threw me because it's like, you know, Suzumi comes out, she gets a good reaction. Wakana comes out, she gets a good reaction. Bell rings, silence. It's like, wait, what happened?
Well, and then people would make noise, but it sort of felt like, like people sort of were thinking, okay, well, we got to do something. Like, we got to make some noise. So,
weird.
We'll clap a little bit. It just really felt like a nothing match. I mean, Wakana is in an interesting place. Because to me, it feels like she has a lot of the intangibles.
Yes.
She's good enough in ring. Like, she's not crazy good, but she's not out there, like, falling apart in the ring. But something is missing. And it could be another Toga thing where, remember, she won the rookie tournament.
Yep.
You know, then she wins the tag team titles, and it feels like, oh my God, this is a big deal person.
That tag title run's going to be the worst thing that ever happened to her.
And it just feels like her trajectory is wrong because now it's like, oh, this person should be a star, and she's in these matches, and you're just not, like, I don't feel it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you definitely needed more time to figure everything out before. And look, and I think the tag team was bad.
Yes.
Because I think she was with someone who is the exact type of person she didn't need to be with.
Mm-hmm.
Which was like, hey, I've gotten good enough, and that's fine.
Yes.
So this match, it's like mine would have been like maybe 3 stars. 2¾ stars for this match. It was just there.
Yeah, I think I was about 3¼. Like, Wakana felt like half a step slow, which typically isn't that bad, but when you're against Suzume, who is so fast and so smooth, it's the most noticeable thing in the world.
And it was a match where I thought, oh, maybe, you know, I've been watching the show for a couple hours. Maybe I'm sort of just, you know, getting tired, whatever. That was not the case, because the next two matches, I was back in.
Yes.
So it was like, okay, it isn't me. It's this match. Speaking of the semi-main event of the show, the Princess Tag Team title match, Miyu Watanabe and Rika Tatsumi, the champions, retaining against Hyper Masao and Shoko Nakajima in 17 minutes and 50 seconds. I said I gave a hot take last week about Chihiro Hashimoto. I have another hot take.
Oh.
Masao is the greatest comedy wrestler of all time when she becomes a serious wrestler.
Yes.
And the thing about it is, like, I often think in Joshi, we'll limit it to Joshi, I think of, like, Kaori Yoneyama used to be this way, where it was like she comes out and she does this, you know, in Stardom, oh, Death Yama-san or whatever all the Yama-sans were. Oh, she's goofy. And then she would go and, like, in Chuckle Pro or something, have a match, and you'd be like, oh my God, it's like 4¼ stars. Amazing. The difference is, to me, Masao wrestles these serious matches as Masao. Like, Kaori Yoneyama is not wrestling a serious match as Death Yama-san, where you're like, oh, this all makes sense in the character. Masao does it and, like, fits it within this comedy character of, like, oh, I have this mask. Oh, it gets knocked off. I'm serious. You know, that to me is harder than just being like, oh, I play this goofball sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I need to have a good match, I'm just myself and I wrestle a good match. Like, that's a lot easier than this.
Hyper Masao embracing the spirit of Colt Cabana versus Homicide.
Like, she's great. I thought this match was really good. I mean, it's the four of the best wrestlers in the company. So it's not, you're not like shocked. I went 4.5 stars. I thought it was really good.
That's where I'm at too. I went 4.5. I really loved that this had a distinct 3-act structure, which you don't see a lot of in wrestling. You know, it started off really kind of fast paced, no silliness, then went all in on being silly. We had the payoff of the bike bit. That was awesome. And then they went back to the ring, had an intense match. Misao gets her mask ripped off. So continues the trend of those matches being awesome. The pace at the end was so insane. Just crazy stuff going on constantly. It was just a great match all around. And yeah, I went 4.5 as well. I think this is my favorite match I've seen these teams have.
Yeah, and it's, remember where we were with the tag team scene 2 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
It's good to be back here.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, just put two really good teams against each other and they'll do well.
What? That's crazy. Who would have thought that?
And then the main event, the Princess of Princess title match, Yuki Arai successfully defending her title, defeating the ace, Miyu Yamashita, in 19 minutes and 16 seconds. Kelly, I'm going to let you go first because I have a feeling we're going to have different opinions.
Oh, no. I loved this match as well. I also went 4.5 stars on this one. I feel like before the match, Miyu must have told Arai, hey, lay your shit in. And she really did. Yuki Arai has never hit people as hard as she did in this match. The finally to the outside sounded awesome. She did a bunch of good elbow strikes to Miyu while she was in like the Indian Deathlock. Just all around, I thought Miyu made Arai look tremendous here. And it was like a super back and forth match by the end. And I honestly didn't know which way they were going to go. But I think it is the right move now to have Arai win here. And I'm glad to see that my trepidations about her winning the title have been largely unfounded. Because it's not like they are drawing any less. And it's not like she's laying eggs out there. So I was very, very happy with this match. Like I said, another 4.5 star match.
Okay, well, we're not that far off, but I was higher than you.
Whoa!
I went 4.75 stars.
Hell yeah.
I thought this rocked. Miyu, of course, is so good, as everyone knows, and we've always known. This did feel like Yuki getting to that place, like stepping up. The biggest thing I thought of during this match was I think the match also was so good because Yuki has been miscast sort of as champion. I think naturally when you're champion, you have the sense of I am the best. People are coming at me and I'm better than they are. Or like I'm the one, like they should be scared of me. I should not be scared of them. So it feels in a way like Yuki has been cast as this killer wrestler who's got this finally kick where it's like, don't get hit by the finally or you're done for. Like this crazy, amazing kick. To me, it feels like such a better fit in this match that she was sort of like the never say die underdog who it's like, I am the underdog. Miyu is the ace of the company. I have a lot to face. You know, Miyu has beaten a lot of people in this company, but I have this kick, and if I hit this kick, I can beat her. And I can win.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of that story fits so much better with Arai, who comes out, you know, she's like smiling and, hey, you know, with the belt, and she's sort of this idol person. It doesn't super click with me to then have her go in a match with, you know, whoever. And be like, okay, hi. And you should be scared of me, by the way, because I'm going to kick your ass.
She definitely feels like someone who should be, like, in this match, fighting to prove themselves.
Yes. And it feels like she's sort of been in the other matches, like, I don't have anything. I'm so good. I have this great kick. You know, another problem being like the kick never looks good. And in this match, it looked great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the one on the apron sounded like she just kicked her.
Yeah.
In the head. So I thought it was great. Really well worked. This is the correct thing to do. It's like you have to go all at this point. You have to go all the way.
Absolutely.
And it was funny because I didn't watch the show live and I wasn't spoiled. I didn't get spoiled on any of the results, but I did see someone tweeted. I don't remember who it was like, oh, I don't remember what the exact wording of the tweet was, but it was something like, oh, the main event of the Tokyo Joshi show really doesn't make sense to me in terms of the direction they're going with the company. And so I was like, well, that reads to me like Miyu is winning.
Yeah.
Because that would be sort of a thing where it's like, okay, that feels like a 3 year ago, 2 year ago thing where they were like, okay, you've had your, like Yuki, you've had your run. Like the thing they did with Miyu, Watanabe, the first time she had the title. Where it was like she had the title, everyone got excited, she defended it a couple times and then lost it. And the whole sort of rationale, at least in my mind, and maybe some other people's minds, was it was like, okay, she proved she could win the title. That was sort of step one. And then she had to come back and win the title again to be like, yes, I am a great champion. And I could see a world, and I'm glad it didn't happen, where like Miyu wins the title here. Mm-hmm. And it becomes a thing where it's like, yeah, but Yuki had the title. Like, she proved she's in that upper echelon and she'll come back and get it again later, which I guess is a fine story. But I'm much more excited to be like, yes, definitively, she is at the top of the mountain. I mean, it certainly seems, I said before she would won the belt, that I was like, she doesn't seem like a draw. Well, she seems like a draw now.
She sure does.
So, you know. Stick with her, and also have to say, you know, a point for Miyu is in the last, I don't know what has been year, Miyu has been like, I'll lay down whenever you want.
Yeah.
Which really says something, I think, is, you know, and she's lost before this show, but she came into this match equally as, oh my God, she's the ace, she could win. You know, it's not taking the shine off of her. And it's helping other people. So I think that's really big too. But I love the match. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, no, it was so good. This show is maybe their best show this year so far, I would say.
I got four
notebook matches.
I would have to go back and look because I always forget like what match is on what show. I mean, previous shows have been held back by the fact that the tag title matches were not good.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, oh, if they're 3.5 stars, we're doing pretty well.
Like, the only thing holding this one back is the international title match. But other than that, like, the top two were both incredible. I liked the Aja Kong Arisu match more than you did, but we both really liked the Brooks Mizuki match, and the rest of the undercard was solid enough.
All right. What else has been happening in Joshi in the last 2 weeks? Well,
a lot.
Yes, a lot. It has been the kickoff of the 5-star Grand Prix, started back on July 18th with the day one. You know, I was messaging you while I was watching these. I have to say the biggest struggle for me is talking about 5-star Grand Prix matches. Because so many of them end, and I'm like, hey, good match. That's all I can say.
There's a lot of 3 stars. A lot of 3 stars, a lot of 3.25. I think for the tournament matches the first night, my standout by far was Momo Watanabe versus Yuna Mizumori. I liked that a lot. I still think Momo in the 5-star is one of the safest bets in wrestling. She and Yuna really beat the hell out of each other here. I think I would have to look back, but I'm pretty sure this is my favorite match that Yuna's had in her stardom run. So I went 4 stars on this one. I really enjoyed it, but the rest of the tournament matches I thought were just kind of fine.
Yeah, I also think Momo just kicked Yuna in the face at one point in the match.
she sure did.
Yeah, but even I'm like, oh, even if it's 3.5 stars, 3.75, maybe even 4 stars, I'm like, I don't have anything other to say.
Yeah.
Other than like, I like this match. It was good. Like, yep, they're two good wrestlers. They had a good match. Mm-hmm. Although something we can talk about, Kelly, very controversially in the semi-main of this show, the Triangle of Madness, Julia Hart, who is replacing Bea Priestley in the 5-star Grand Prix, Sky Blue and Tekla defeating Ami Sorey, Hina, and Lady C to win the Artists of Stardom title match. I think I'm less offended by this than other people.
Yeah, my first note for this match says, I'm sure everyone was extremely normal about this result.
Because it feels like, okay, they'll probably drop them back in a month after the tournament is over.
They'll probably lose them at Wembley.
Yeah, or some. I'm like, they're not going to have them that long. And I, you know, Ami, Hina, Lady C, like, it's a fun team. But I'm not, like, the Artist of Stardom titles, I'm like, okay.
I don't think I'm capable of being upset about anything related to the Artist of Stardom titles. Like, I put it in my notes, this was a one-woman team versus God's Eye's most boring soldiers. Like, I cannot possibly imagine having a strong opinion about this match or its result.
I will say the funniest part of this match for me was Julia doing the rope walk and then did like an arm wringer. She like sort of dropped off the ropes and was going to do like an arm thing on the ropes, missed the apron and fell directly on her ass on the ground, which made me laugh quite a lot.
Well, I will say one of my favorite things about this is, you know, the English speaking fans very upset about all of this. Japanese fans, they fucking love Julia Hart. They are really fired up about her. Which I find very funny.
And then one match we should talk about, the main event, the IWGP women's title match, Siri successfully defending her title against Natsupoi in 20 minutes and 52 seconds. Natsupoi after the match, not directly after the match, but in subsequent days, announcing she will be retiring in January, January 3rd. So some big news there, but this match, great match. I went 4.5 stars. They just pummeled the shit out of each other.
Yep.
For the whole time. There were two shoot headbutts.
Yep.
In the match, just kicking, slapping, just going at it. Really good. The Wrestling Observer went 5 stars. So even higher than me. Kelly, what did you have for this match?
I was 4.25. I liked it a lot. I called this a smart jock wrestler versus a dumb jock wrestler match. There was a bit in here when Poi took her like usual apron bump where I don't know what it was, but the sound of it was so much grosser than normal. it was this weird metallic splat and it was just like, oh my God, she's dead.
Well, they opened the match by just throwing each other onto the apron.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, okay, you go on the apron, now come up here and throw me onto the apron.
Yeah. I do feel like the match went a little longer than it should have. I think they missed the peak. And there was 2 times where Siri was late on kickouts.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I'm like, is this becoming a Stardom thing where people are late on kickouts?
Yeah.
Because I don't think I noticed it twice, but I definitely noticed it once.
I probably would have gone 4.5 if not for those. But I kind of I shaved that off, the quarter star off, because of that. And that kind of makes me think, like, if you shave the last 3 minutes of this match off, I do think it's better for it. But, like, either way, awesome match.
Then on the 19th, there was the second day of the 5-star Grand Prix. Kelly, anything that calls out to you from this day?
I actually do have a couple notes on this one. I absolutely loved that Tomoko Inaba beat Natsuko Tora by DQ. The ref called for the bell. He saw cheating happening. And I said, hell yeah, out loud, because I love to see rules being followed. Finally. So that was good. I really enjoyed the Utami Rina Yamashita draw. Thought the second match, the second half of it was really good, but the first half definitely suffered from the time limit draw psychology of, oh, we need to draw this out, when you don't, just wrestle a regular match. But that's a wider wrestling like psychology problem. My main thoughts on this show, and it kind of goes into wider booking, comes from the main event between Kurara and Rina. I had my usual problems with this match that I do with Rina matches, where I find them overindulgent and Rina kicks out of a whole lot of stuff. And normally that's whatever, because a lot of times it's for like a future Stardom title or a New Blood thing or whatever. My issue specifically here is that Rina is not in a position on the pecking order where she should be kicking out of Sayaka Carrara's finishers, because Carrara is an incredibly recent world champion. The stuff that Rina was kicking out of are moves that put away Saya Kamatani. And I feel like that's an issue going forward, is the booking of Carrara, where it kind of feels like they're still treating her as the plucky upstart when that's not what she is anymore. She's a former world champion. So it just has a lot of... That adds a lot of implications to her matches and how it's booked. So I don't feel like she should have had as hard of a time putting away Rina as she did. And then going forward into the show after, Kurara loses clean to Tomoka Inaba, who I like a lot. I think Inaba's great. But I don't think Inaba should be beating incredibly recent world champion like that. So I don't know, maybe I'm thinking about it too much, but it just seems like this muddies a lot of the booking, and that I still don't think Kurara was ready to be the champion that she was.
Then on the 20th of July, there was another day of 5-star Grand Prix action. I don't really know how to distinguish, make these intros interesting. Kelly, anything from the 20th? I would say my highlight would definitely be the main event, Micah defeating Azumi. I think other than that, I don't really feel strongly about any of these.
I loved how they did the Heyman special from the semi-main into the main. I thought that was awesome. Just, all right, these two hang out. Oh, then they're getting into it. Oh, you know what? Ring the bell. Start the match. Like, that was awesome. I loved that. I actually went 4 stars on the main. I thought it was very good. Micah and Azumi, two great wrestlers. So, yeah, this match should have been as good as it was.
And then the 25th was the final day of this period for the 5-star. I have not seen this show yet. Kelly, you have anything to recommend from this show?
No.
Cool.
I will say the Itsuke Aoki versus Natsuka Tora match was bad, but it wasn't like a disaster bad, so it was just kind of boring bad. And I was disappointed with that. Also, Kurara took another loss to Micah here, so again, I don't know. I feel like she maybe should not have beat Saya, but whatever. And poor May Sierra, she gets implicated in a blackface scandal after the bell. Didn't even happen during the match. What are we doing?
All right, what else has been happening? Marigold had a show on the 14th of July. Two title matches in that. Megaton defeating Asami Kodaka to retain the independent junior heavyweight title. Sure. And the main event, Twin Tower, of Chika Goto and Koke Amore defeating. Yes, do you have something to say about Twin Tower?
Yeah, it's, no, sorry, I thought you had stopped talking, but my mic just went out for a second, so I started talking over you on accident. My mistake.
Yes, anyway, it's because I said Twin Tower, I'm being muted.
Oh, yeah.
Chika Goto and Koke Amore defeating the Darkness Revolution duo of Chiaki and Rei Seto in 16 minutes and 54 seconds. Another tournament kicking off in the last 2 weeks, the Tokyo Princess Cup over in Tokyo Joshi. The first day of that tournament was on the 20th of July with the first round matches. Kelly, we sort of talked about this when we were previewing these shows. It was a bigger venue than they, I feel like, typically run for the show. Uh-huh. It was very echoey.
Yes.
But I would say my high match was Miyu Watanabe defeating Ren Kanatsu. Other than that, I thought all of these matches were fine.
I went 3.5 stars on both Endo versus Hattori and Irai versus Haru. I liked both of those quite a bit.
There you go. So Kelly higher than me on this show that he was very scared that he would not enjoy.
I mean, I didn't think it was great, but like, wasn't sure. They've been far, far worse.
And then the 25th, this round two matches. Kelly, you have seen this show. What did you think about this show?
The first three of the tournament matches were kind of nothing. Endo beating Chika Nanase was whatever. At one point, I noticed, like, I was watching the match, but I was zoned out thinking about something entirely else. Like, they did not keep my attention at all. Himawari beat Wakana, which is a surprising result and kind of awesome, actually. So I'm excited about that. Misao and Mizuki had a not a great match. I went 3 stars on it, which is incredibly disappointing for those two. Too much comedy in this one. It very much felt like a house show match. But then the main event was awesome. Rika Tatsumi beating Miyu Yamashita. It was so unlike everything else that came on the card prior, where this was just a very nasty and gritty match where they were just really swinging for the fences. Tatsumi was just wrenching on Miyu's leg in this match and then eventually on her neck with the Dragon Sleeper, which got her the win. Yamashita hit a crazy looking skull kick at one point. Like, this was a much needed match for me, as this was like the main event of my day of watching 3 5-star shows and then this Tokyo Joshi show. I went 4.5 stars or 4.25 stars on it. I really, really liked it. So if there's any tournament match you should watch, out of all of the shows we've just talked about, that's the one. If you have time for one single match, make it Rika Tatsumi versus Miyu Yamashita.
Then Sendai Girls had a big Korakuen Hall show on the 20th as well, celebrating their 20th anniversary. A junior title match, Spike Nishimori defeating Yuna to retain that newly won title. The semi-main was a tag team hardcore match, El Desperado and Ryo Mizunami defeating Kurishio Tokyo Japan and Veni. Kelly, you did watch this match. Thoughts?
What a strange match to have happen. You know, like, what an odd grouping of people. I don't know why Desperado was here. Just very weird all around. Like, Jiro took one of the funniest table bumps I've ever seen. Like, he did legitimately make me laugh. Like, he goes up on the ladder, does like the, you know, the dash spot off, jumping off the ladder through the table. But whoever he was going to jump on, I think it was Mizunami, moved. And he sees that kind of halfway through on his way down. and just makes like the disappointed Kermit the Frog face, and then holds that face as he hits the table and looks so disappointed in himself. It was it made everything with Jiro worth it for that day. Like, he was actually very funny in this one match.
And then the main event was the Sendai Girls World title match. Chihiro Hashimoto, the champion, retaining against Tsuri in 18 minutes and 17 seconds. I really liked this match. I went 4.25 stars. Thought it was sort of the classic Hashimoto Tsuri style. Lots of suplexes, hard hitting. I was actually sort of surprised to see a winner.
Yes.
A definitive winner, especially because I think they were doing time calls throughout the match, or they were saying something which I thought was time calls, and thought, okay, they're going to go to a draw, and they didn't. So that was.
I fully expected this to be a draw.
That was great. Really hard hitting again. Really enjoyed it. Another good Tsuri match in this week. So yeah, Kelly, what'd you think?
Dudes Rock Ladies Edition strikes again. Just fucking awesome. They beat the absolute shit out of each other. There was multiple strikes that made me go, oh god. Because they just sounded and looked gross. It was awesome. I went 4.5 stars. I loved this match. Someone make Dave watch this one too.
And then Kelly, what has been happening in Choco Pro in the last 2 weeks?
Choco Pro had one of their bigger shows on the 14th, main evented by a Super Asia title match. Mia Yatsuba successfully defending against Mei Suruga in a pretty good match that I went 4 stars on. I really feel like Mia is improving with every match, and I think she's having a very good run as champion.
All right, and what is coming up in the next 2 weeks of action? Well, we have some more 5-star Grand Prix action that resumes on the 28th of July at Corican Hall. Both A block and B block, both A block and B block, and red block and blue block in action. There we go. In the Red A, Sayaka Carrara against Itsuki Aoki and Maika against Natsuka Tora. In the Red B, Lady C against Maki Ito and Utami against Konami. In the Blue A, Suzu Suzuki versus Miyu Amasaki and Rion versus Julia Hart. And then in Blue B, Yuna Mizumori against Ami Sore and Starlight Kid against Sayaka Matani. I mean, Starlight Kid against Saya Kamatani is the match, right?
Saya was dearly missed on the shows prior to this.
Kelly, you getting hype for Rion versus Julia Hart?
Honestly, kind of.
Oh, okay.
I like Rion a lot, and I'm hoping Julia steps up. So, yeah, actually. You know what? Yes, I am.
Then on August 1st, they will be at Sendai Pit. It is a blue block day. In the A block, Suzu Suzuki against Hanako, Aya Sakura against Ruaka, Hina against Julia Hart, and Miyu Amasaki against Rion. In the B block, Koguma versus Saya Kamatani, Yuna Mizumori versus Kikyo Furusawa, Ami Sore versus Momo Watanabe, and Hanan versus Starlight Kid. That blue B block is really...
Oh, yeah.
Doing the work.
Not having that block for the most part on these early shows or just kind of not being around a ton really dragged down those first couple of days of the tournaments.
Then it will be August 2nd in Utsunomiya. One single red A block match, Rina versus Itsuki Aoki. And then it's all B all the way down. Aya Sakura versus Miyu Amasaki, Suzu Suzuki versus Rion, Ruaka versus Julia Hart, Hina versus Hanako, Yuna Mizumori versus Koguma, Starlight Kid and Momo Watanabe, Hanan and Ami Sore, and Sayaka Matani and Kyoko Furusawa.
Starlight Kid and Momo is the one to watch out for there.
Then on the 3rd, they are back in Korakuen Hall with all blocks in action. Red A, Azumi, and Itsuki Aoki, Natsuka Tora, and Akira Kurigane. in the Red B, Lady C and Izuza Inaba, Saeeda and Konami, Red A, Aya Sakura against Julia Hart, and Hina versus Rion. And then in the B block, Yuna Mizumori versus Starlight Kid, and the big one, Momo Watanabe versus Saya Kamatani.
That show is saved entirely by Blue B.
Then on the 8th of August, they will be in Sapporo. It's all red. The rest of the time, it's all red. So it's Red A, Azumi versus Natsukatora, Tomoki Inaba versus Akira Kirigane, Maika versus Rina. In the B, Rina Yamashita and Konami, Maki Ito and Azusa Inaba, and Lady C and Utami. And then we end this two-week period, still in Sapporo, on the 9th, still red, in the A block, Azumi and Akira Kurigane, Sayaka Karara versus Natsukatora, Tomoki Inaba versus Rina, Maika versus Itsuki Aoki. In the B block, only three matches, Azusa Inaba versus Konami, Saeeda versus Rina Yamashita, and Utami versus Maki Ito. So that will be it. And then in 2 weeks, we will be very close to the end, hard to believe, of the five-star Grand Prix.
Am I insane, or does it feel like there are so many more red matches than there are blue?
It really does.
And I like, how is that possible?
I don't know, but I think it's made up by the fact that the last 2 days are almost exclusively blue matches.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Like, two of the last 3 days are almost exclusively blue matches. But I don't know. Also, the Tokyo Princess Cup will be continuing on the 30th of July. Four matches, Toga against Mihiro Kiryu, Miyu Watanabe versus Yuki Aino, Suzume versus Palm Harajuku, and Yuki Arai versus Shoko Nakajima. And then on August 8th, it will be Rika Tatsumi versus Hyper Masao, Arisa Endo versus Himawari, and then it will be the winner of Toga and Mihiro Kiryu facing off against the winner of Miyu Watanabe and Yuki Aino. And then the winner of Suzume and Palm Harajuku will face the winner of Yuki Arai and Shoko Nakajima. What is coming up in Marigold? They have a Korakuen Hall show coming up on the 30th of July. The big match there is going to be Miko Aino and Komomo Minami facing off against Seri and Chi-Chi. That will be the big one. And then on August 9th, Kelly, we have Summer Destiny 2026.
I'm so excited.
A big show for Marigold. Of course, the last time they did Summer Destiny, we're talking Julia was there. We're talking Io Sky. We're talking Utami.
They're breaking out big guns this time, right?
The big, only the biggest and the best.
Are they calling in favors? Are they getting EO back?
All right. Summer Destiny on July 13th, 2024. Semi-main event, EO Sky versus Utami. Main event, Seri versus Julia.
Are they going to get Julia back?
So they got to top it, Kelly. The tag title match. Get excited.
Okay, okay.
Twin Tower.
To win Tower?
Koke Amore and Chika Goto will face off against Shino and Yuka Yamazaki. Get excited.
Oh, okay, all right.
And then the main event.
Okay,
of course,
all right.
You got to have a big singles title main event.
Yeah, you do.
The champion, Miko Aono.
Okay, she's good.
Defending against... People are saying maybe the biggest challenge yet.
Oh.
Nagisa Nozaki.
Oh my God. That's going to put butts in the seats.
Folks, get excited.
When you said the biggest challenge, I'm not going to lie. There was a bit where I was like, are they fucking putting Megaton in the main event?
Anything's possible in the wonderful world of Marigold. Also, excitedly, Henry, the rookie that previously was part of Tokyo Joshi and left, and joined Marigold, which I believe Rossi called a game changer in the world of Joshi wrestling. An undebuted rookie going from one company to another. Is debuting on the show.
Oh, I bet she's going to be terrible.
So get excited for Marigold. They are currently, I believe, begging Seri to do the to do their upcoming tournament. So we'll see if that comes to fruition.
Sari's like, nah, man, I'm still hurt. I know I'm doing that match for you guys before then, but I got the itis.
I think I'm busy.
I think I gotta wash my hair for several weeks.
I have some real estate I'm looking into. So that is what is coming up in the next 2 weeks. So we will be back, of course. What will we be talking? We'll be talking the 5-star Grand Prix. We'll be talking the Tokyo Princess Cup, but that will be in 2 weeks' time. Before we end this episode, of course, I've got to throw it over to Kelly for Kelly's Corner.
So I haven't been doing a lot other than like just trying to stay caught up on wrestling, you know? I don't have much to talk about. This coming week is the release of Volume 2 of Tadao Suge's Boat Life manga, so I'm very excited about that. I'm currently reading Boat Life Volume 1 again because that came out 4 years ago, and I don't remember a ton about it besides it's about a man who lives on a boat.
Kelly's Corner recommendation this week, watch wrestling.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, I do, there's a part of me where I'm just like, damn, I do want to catch up on the G1. Because, like, I'm kind of, like, New Japan might kind of be back. But also, I don't want to watch any more wrestling. I don't want to, like, completely burn myself out. And I still have so many tournament shows to watch. Like, I'm skipping the AEW show tonight. I can't bring myself to do it. I spent too long yesterday watching wrestling. So, I don't know, maybe I'll watch some G1. But also, I may just spend the day taking a minor vacation from wrestling.
There you go. Well, we will be back with you in 2 weeks' time. You can find out if Kelly watched any of the G1. But you can also hear Kelly's thoughts on the 5-Star Grand Prix and the Tokyo Princess Cup. Lots of Joshi action coming up for everyone to watch. But until then, stay cool.
Bye, everybody.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.